In this Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast, two Pats fans debate on whether they should still be Pats fans, along with our Friday picks. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, and with me, a fantasy football injury victim. Honestly, I should probably put mine as a tagline for that as well, because I'm getting devastated by some injuries. Mm-hmm. But the injury victim himself, CJ Medeiros. Thursday night football happened. The Jets ran amok on the Pats. Drake May, the bright side is that we got to see Drake May making his debut in garbage time. But the main thing, the Pats O-line couldn't stop a nosebleed. If you're a Mondre fantasy owner, then you probably wanted to kill yourself. Six carries, 23 yards, 0.3 fantasy points. You also lost a fumble. Antonio Gibson was the leading rusher for the Patriots, five carries, 29 yards. And we actually saw DeMario Douglas actually get targets, seven catches in this one for 69 yards. And I would probably a third of them came on that last drive with Drake May. But offense couldn't stop a nosebleed. Defense, for some reason, forgot how to tackle. And the Pats defense is supposed to be one of the sneakier good defenses in the league. And, of course, if you were watching towards the end last night, they Amazon Prime put up a next-gen stat graphic of the Patriots defense. 13 missed tackles, 100 yards lost, 14.8% missed tackle rate. That is devastating. Devastating. But for the people that are wondering why Drake May isn't starting for the Pats right now, this is a pretty good understanding as to why Drake May is not starting, because he would die. He would die behind that O-line.
Yeah. What the hell was that? I mean, just like as a fan, huh?
Huh?
Literally. And I mean, the defense, like I said, was what you mentioned was supposed to be better than what you would expect, just decided, nope. An ungodly amount of missed tackles, an almost 15% missed tackle rate. What? And I mean, I remember, like, I was freaking out because they were hitting these Jets guys behind the line and they were still just ripping off like first down after first down. Like, they're making contact with them and they wouldn't go down. And like I said, I've never really been scared of Garrett Wilson, and I'm still really not, even with that amazing touchdown, which, you know, like I said, what's the old adage? You can't defend the perfect pass. Even though it was a bad read, it was still the perfect pass. And I just, I don't know. I don't know, man. It is what it is. But for me, the score is deceiving. Because you might think, oh, you know, New England just couldn't move the ball. That much is true. But it's the offensive line. Oh, my God. They just forgot how to literally breathe at this point. Because here's the thing, right? Because if you go back and you actually, like, crunch the numbers, they gave up, like, six sacks, I think. Or some other like weird number like that, like six or seven sacks. And I just, and then, you know, there's Drake May. I saw Twitter's like, oh, Drake May sucks. He's going to be a bust. You know, Drake May in his first ever drive, 4 for 8, 22 yards. And they're saying stuff like, oh, he doesn't look good. That was his first ever drive. And he got sacked twice. And it's not even him holding onto the ball for too long. Like, they have no time to throw. And I will give New England a tiny bit, just a tiny benefit of the doubt, because an already questionable O-line has been ravaged by injuries. Both of their starting guards, and Cole Strange and Sidy Sow, are out. In fact, neither of them have played this season. And even still left tackle, Caden Wallace has the dubious honor of performing worse than the human turnstile himself, Vidarian Lowe. That's all I got. Just that's my only answer. What? And meanwhile, for the Jets. Now, the Jets are an interesting team. And I think, yeah, we could talk about how bad the Pats were, but we got to talk about the Jets. You know how the Jets started the year, you know, a nice thumping from the 49ers, right? That didn't look good, but they beat the Titans. And this is another game where I think the Jets just, I mean, the Titans lost more than the Jets won. Rodgers was okay. Just that Will Levis might not be able to play football, it would seem. And either way, you barely beat the long score game. You beat up on the Patriots, who, yeah, you could tell that was like two decades worth of frustration pouring out after New England literally having like partial ownership of the Jets for years. So there's that. But for me, I'm not convinced. You know what I mean? Like, congrats. You beat the Pats. You barely beat the Titans. And the only contender you play in the 49ers whooped you live on, what was it, Monday Night Football. Now, the rest of their schedule is interesting because up next, you have the Broncos. Oh, boy, you get to face off against Bo Pix. Ooh, shiver me timbers. Then you're in Minnesota. That's going to be a Darnold revenge game. Then you're hosting Buffalo. Now, that's going to be interesting. For me, the true test of the Jets is going to be how they fare against Buffalo and actual contenders. Because then you got the Steelers. Then you're in New England. And then you're hosting Houston. You're at Arizona. You're hosting the Colts. And then you got just the rest of the way the Rams. Maybe they're good later in the year if they get Nacua or cutback. Then I guess you're at Jacksonville, you're at Buffalo. And I guess you got Miami in there. So look, let's be real. The Jets have a Charmin soft schedule. I mean, you got the Bills, but that's pretty much it. And I feel like I said, you know, Jets have an easy schedule. And honestly, do I think they're better than the Bills? No. Do I think they'll beat the Bills? The best they're doing is split. They're not going to beat Buffalo. You heard it here first. But I'm going to need to see more convincing wins against these bad teams. Because, yeah, you beat the Pats. Congrats. Good for you. You want a medal. But you only beat the Titans by a score. That is bad. That's just horrific.
I think the Titans defense is still a good defense. So, I mean, I feel like that's going to be a tougher game regardless. And Pat's defense last night started to get riddled with injuries towards the latter half as well. And I was on the drive home last night from my buddies and just listening to Sosie and what's his face and Zolak. It was probably the most depressing radio broadcast I've ever listened to in my life. The whole ride, I didn't even hear Zoe say a word. Sosie sounded like that he'd rather be doing like 10 million other things at that moment. Anyways, back to the Jets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, first game back at MetLife since tearing his Achilles, showed out 27 for 35, 281 and two touchdowns. And receiving wise, it wasn't really no one really stood out. Tyler Conklin, 93 yards. And Garrett Wilson kind of got shut down a little bit. And like you said, CJ, Current really took a perfect ball from Rodgers to get that touchdown. But Christian Gonzalez did a pretty good job of shutting him down for the majority of the night. But yeah, it's going to really depend on how they play the rest of the way. And you mentioned the Bills game, and that's going to be a Monday night game as well. So that's obviously going to be a lot of storylines around that. But I think the Jets, they're definitely going to be contenders. And like you said, it's really just going to depend on how they end up faring against a team like Buffalo. Just it's a AFC division opponent. So obviously that's going to be like that. And really looking at the rest of the schedule, the only other tough game they really have coming up is going to be the Texans. And that's kind of it.
I mean, maybe
all these other games are pretty winnable games.
Yeah. But like I said, the Jets have a Charmin soft schedule, and I would go as far as to say this: as you know, I have some reservations about Robert Saleh as a head coach. Last night didn't change that.
Yeah.
But if the Jets somehow miss the playoffs, right, then I'm sorry, then that's got to be Saleh's job. Like,
yeah,
you have Aaron Rodgers and he's looking good, and you have a soft schedule. There is no reason for you to miss the playoffs. And for the Jets, like, good win. That, yeah, that's a good win for you guys. But once again, can you make the playoffs finally? Because if you don't, like I said, then there's no reason Saleh should be a coach, because any other coach would make you a playoff team.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is that in the past couple of years, Saleh has kind of just gone the past because he's had Zach Wilson as his quarterback and who's who at quarterback besides Aaron Rodgers. So he's kind of gone the past, but I think this is the year. Like, if they have some sort of playoff collapse like the 08 Brett Favre Jets, then forget about it. But yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our Friday picks for week 3 of the NFL season. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 8 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. We go into our 1 p.m. slate for this one, and a good one, as got to retrack here on my page. But starting out, the Giants versus the Browns in Cleveland. I mean, the Giants, I feel like, are going to have to win a game at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this one, but Cleveland, their offense production has been terrible. I mean, the defense. Cleveland's defense is always going to be pretty good, or for the most part going to be pretty good. So I'm going to go Cleveland on this, but I was seeing something where, you know, Alex Van Pelt was the offensive coordinator the last couple of years in Cleveland, and now looking at how they are on offense, it's night and day right now. And look at him right now. He's the OC for the Pats. And granted, the Pats offense really is just terrible. And there's nothing much that Van Pelt can really do about that. But I just wanted to throw that out there just for shits and gigs. But yeah, Cleveland on this one. Maybe they cover, maybe they don't. I don't really care about that, to be honest.
Oh my God, the Browns. That is all. Just you got the Browns. And guess
and
what?
And the Giants.
You got the Browns. I mean, you picked something. And I'm going with Cleveland too. Because I'm not going to lie, Cleveland has just been stuck in a downward spiral ever since Diddy Watson was brought onto the team. And you gave him that stupid contract. You sold your future for him for all intents and purposes. And look where that got you. Now what? And also, like you said, their offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, leaving for New England is definitely hurting them. But even though I do not think Cleveland's a very good team, they at least have a pulse, a weak pulse, but I could tell they're alive. Last week, the New York Giants lost to a team that kicked 7 field goals. That is my argument. Give me Cleveland.
We're Green Bay and Tennessee. Tennessee's got the spread at 3. And we're going to have back-to-back weeks of Malik Willis in at quarterback for the Packers. Titans got a good defense. A lot better than what the Colts have. I think the only way the Packers really, I feel like the game plan for the Packers here is going to be very similar to last week. Green Bay is going to make Will Levis make all the mistakes, and they're going to limit the way Malik Willis plays so he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. So I'm going to go Green Bay.
This is a weird game. That's all I can say to that.
It's a very weird game. It is.
Because obviously, if this were any, and I do mean any, other year for Green Bay, even with Jordan Love, then I would say that the Titans would get walloped, right? But them having Malik Willis is going to help immensely. But what scares me is that the Titans actually have a really good defense. They do. They, you know, they hurt Rodgers quite a bit. And you saw what they did to Caleb Williams. And Malik Willis is easily the worst quarterback they've gone up against. However, so long as Willis doesn't make many mistakes, I think that it will be fine. But make no mistake, this game's going to be ugly. It's going to be a defensive slugfest. However, Chris, you took the Packers, correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, however, I just, when it comes to moving the ball more and strength of defense, I trust the Titans to air it out more than I trust Malik Willis to. And solely due to the fact that the Titans have a better defense, I am leaning towards the Titans. Give me the Titans, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, I could see as to, like, why you would do that, especially because when you're looking at the Green Bay game last week, they were going up against a Colts team that is terrible in the run, whereas the Titans defense is a lot better than the Colts defense. It's just, like I said, how is Green Bay going to do in making Will Levis make all the mistakes? And seeing that Will Levis has been playing, like, it's really not that hard to make him make mistakes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Moving on, Bears versus Colts. Here's one for you. So the total age between Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams is younger than the Utah versus Oklahoma State quarterback matchup, Cam Rising and Alan Bowman, by like 4 years.
Well, yeah, because Rising's been there for like, what, 7 years, and Bowman's been there for 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we got some youngins here, Chicago and Indy.
Chris, I'm so glad that the COVID year, this is the last year for it. I'm so glad.
Amen.
I'm so sick of the whole, oh, look at this 27-year-old quarterback. Yeah, because he took a red shirt, an injury year, and the COVID year. Like, frick off. Fuck off.
You know, I'm right there with you. I am. Because, look, these old quarterbacks, I didn't like it when it was Brandon Whedon. And he was the first-round pick. So you think I'm going to sit here and tolerate Cam Rising? You're incorrect.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Cheers to them. They're racking up the NIL money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is really a toss-up. The spread kind of shows that. It's -1 towards the Colts right now. It's really just take a coin flip, and I'm kind of on the verge of doing that right now. Caleb Williams kind of needs to step it up. I mean, never mind Caleb Williams, but the O-line needs to really step it up. But I could see, I mean, this is kind of going back on to what I was saying about Green Bay and Tennessee. Indianapolis does not have a good running game. I could see Chicago really amping it up in the run game this week. I'm going to go with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Going with the Bears, yeah.
What the hell is this game? This is, because see, here's the thing. I think this game will solely depend on how Anthony Richardson performs. Because Caleb Williams showed that against, you know, Tennessee, that even if he is basically going to stand there like a traffic cone, the Bears defense is still going to perform. But Anthony Richardson, this man is big and he's fast. So either he's going to run all over you, he's just going to do the old, you know, just sling the ball 70 yards trick, but that works in college, doesn't work in the pros. Because like I said, Anthony Richardson will show these amazing flashes. But then every other time he's shitting the bed. So when you toss that all together, I'm not going to lie. I'm leaning Indy just because I think Keenan Allen's going to be hurt for Chicago.
Keenan Allen got ruled out before we started this.
Oh, really? Well, then, yeah, no, I'm going Indy. Chris, who'd you take again? You said the Bears?
I took Bears.
All right.
CJ's writing this all down so we can post it on Instagram later.
Yeah. Folks, when it comes out, go like the pick'em. This is a request.
But, I mean, at this... Michael Pittman is also questionable, working through back and calf injuries. Yeah. Could be available for Sunday. I mean, obviously, he's more than likely to be available on Sunday than Keenan Allen.
You're right. But the thing is, I also think it's going to be an ugly game. And when it comes to the ground game, I trust Jonathan Taylor infinitely more than I trust Bill brother DeAndre Swift.
But the Colts' run defense is terrible. They're so terrible.
Yeah, that is true.
Whereas the Bears actually have a defense. But that's our take. Houston, Minnesota. Vegas has this being a pretty close game. I don't know if it will be a close game. Because are the Vikings even going to have Jettis? Vikings are going to have Jettis, right?
I don't know. He's listed as questionable. And he's been limited in practice, but I'm not sure.
I'll double check it right now. But I mean, off the rip, I'm thinking Texans. It's just hard to say that this is a team that you're really going to slow down. Vikings are still without TJ Hawkinson. Jordan Addison still.
Wait, Chris, we have an update.
What's the update? Give it to me.
Vikings, this per NFL's Tom Pelissero. Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson quad is off the injury report and good to go Sunday versus Houston. And Jordan Addison is out.
I was just about to say Jordan Addison is currently ruled out on ESPN, and I didn't see Jettis on there to begin with. So that was probably going to be the next thing I was going to say if you didn't say anything about that. But well, there you have it. Dude, sub out a wide receiver two for the best wide receiver in the league.
No, dude, you don't get it. I have Justin Jefferson in fantasy, and I just made that change right now.
Oh, man. So, Minnesota's on a great run right now. Sam Darnold's playing out of his mind, one of the top passers in the league. And you got to – I kind of see this the way that the Fitzmagic phase in Tampa Bay went. It's got to end at some point, and I'm wondering if this is the week it's going to end. So I'm going to go with the Texans.
I have to go with the Texans because, you know, Vikings defense doesn't exactly wow me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just as a result, it's that plus, like you said, the Sam Darnold run's got to end. But don't get me wrong. I still think the Vikings are going to get theirs, right? You know, Jettis is going to have a touchdown. Like, that's the thing. Oh, but when Jettis on the other side, it's just a fact of life. And just... as a whole, I gotta lean towards the Texans because at the end of the day, it's gonna come down to defense, and I think that the Texans have a much better defense than the Vikings do, and I trust CJ Stroud and his boys to get it done.
There you have it. Philly versus New Orleans in the Superdome. Philly coming off of a very bad Monday night loss to the Falcons and the Saints. With the highest scoring offense in the league right now, they have the spread in favor of the Saints at 2.5, which is hammer. Oh, geez. That's the thing. I feel like this is another one of those coin flips when it really shouldn't be. And it's all because of Clint Kubiak. I just don't like the way Philly's looking right now. You get a bad loss against Atlanta Monday night. Nick Sirianni didn't even address the team after the game either.
Yeah, no. Well, I wouldn't show my face in the locker room either if I out Falconed the Falcons.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm gonna go with the Saints. I mean, obviously Vegas has this as the Saints being the favorite, but I see this more as, I mean, obviously from recent years, But I mean, theoretically, this could be more of, say, an upset in that sense in the Saints' favor. But regardless of how you want to look at it, I'm going the Saints. They're just playing too well offensively. And Philly just still has way too many questions than answers.
Yeah. And I know we've said before that, you know, for the Saints, when Derek Carr's your quarterback, you have a ceiling. But I think this game is more about Philly than it is about New Orleans. Because you saw what happened Monday night.
Yeah.
We all did. It was laid bare for the for these United States to see. And I just, Philly's an incredibly frustrating team. Because you look at that roster, right? That is a team that for all intents and purposes should contend and should be in a Super Bowl. But they are horrendously playing down to competition. And you know what? I've had my reservations before, but no longer. It's in the bayou. It's in the swamp. So you give me the Saints. And mark my words, if they lose, I could theoretically see Sirianni getting fired, which would be embarrassing for me because I said I think the Eagles can make a deep playoff run, but...
I think that if they're going to fire Sirianni, it's going to be at the bye week, and their bye week's week five.
Well, then. But all I'm going to say is if they lose, then Sirianni's officially on borrowed time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it was. Like, he's been to Super Bowl before. He showed that he can be a good coach, but at the same time, they lost Steichen and Gannon, their coordinators, and maybe, just maybe, losing those coordinators would be more important than we thought.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. It's, I mean, this Saints team or this Eagles team just, I mean, they're sometimes good, but there's just more bad than good right now. Mm-hmm. And AJ Brown just got ruled out again.
Now Philly's cooked.
Yeah. And seeing the way that they threw the ball with AJ Brown not even on the field, Jahan Dotson's a bum. And if you have to throw that Britton guy as your number two the entire time, good freaking luck, because Marshawn Lattimore is strapping up Devontae Smith.
Please throw it to Dallas Goedert for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, for fantasy purposes. Can't ever forget about Dallas, man. He's a dog.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why Philly acts like they've never heard of him. It's like, it's like asking your average American to name their representative. They'll just be like, huh? When you ask Jalen Hurts about Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs, Chargers versus Pittsburgh in the Steel City. They got the Steelers as the favorite, and this is kind of a tough one. I'm leaning Chargers, but this is kind of a toss-up between how the Chargers will fare against the Steelers' defense. It's one of those games where it's going to be one offense versus one defense, and the other side of the two just don't really matter. And that's how I kind of see it with this game. It's the Chargers' offense versus the Pittsburgh defense. J.K. Dobbins has been running out of his mind, leading the league in rushing yards right now, and good for him. He, ever since coming into the league, he's been just injury riddled here and there. And now he's got himself a new start in LA with Jim Harbaugh, who takes probably the most pride out of anyone in football history and running the football. And now he leads the league in rushing yards. Justin Herbert doesn't have to do a whole lot. And when he does, he's still a dog. Quentin Johnston can actually catch the football. Question is can this be another game where Justin Fields doesn't do a whole lot to hurt the team and they just ride the defense again? Mm-hmm. Now, Chargers are definitely going to have a tougher time running the ball on this defense. That is for certain. And this is going to be, I'm seeing this, regardless of how this plays out, it is going to be an ugly, ugly game. And Mike Tomlin and Jim Harbaugh are going to freaking love it. So, all in all, give me the Chargers.
This, once again, weird game. This, you know what this reminds me of? when you said one team's offense versus one team's defense.
Yes.
This is like Super Bowl 49, Pats Seahawks, where it's Pats offense versus Seahawks defense. And the other side, I mean, you know, they're good, but eh. Well, to rephrase that, it's like Super Bowl 49 if I bought it off Temu.
Yeah.
This is the wish Super Bowl 49, let me tell you. Because you wish it was Super Bowl 49. And but you get the reference, right? Perhaps it's a bit heavy-handed, but that is my thing. This is like what these are two nose to the grindstone physical coaches that are not afraid of an ugly game. And you said you're going Chargers.
Yeah.
I'm probably also gonna have to go with the Chargers. Because, actually, there is one thing that concerns me about this game. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not entirely sure that you've mentioned this. And if you did mention it, say, CJ, shut up and curse me out. Because we got a big update here. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is dealing with a high ankle sprain, and his status for Sunday is up in the air. So without Jay Herbo, they're going to have to lean on Dobbins. Dobbins is probably going to have a good day. This game, without Justin Herbert, well, this is an election year. It has become Pennsylvania. You can flip a coin to figure out which way it's going. The thing is, if Herbert's playing, I would say that I trust the Chargers offense to get it done more than I trust Pittsburgh's offense with one touchdown, Justin Fields. But without Jay Herbo, this becomes an entirely different game. And look, let me tell you something, folks. These high ankle sprains for your quarterback, you don't screw with them. They are dead serious. And with Justin Herbert not playing, so like I said, this game basically depends solely on if Justin Herbert's playing. Right now, he's questionable. High ankle sprain. He, quote, described the pain as not great, but he still says it's TBD. So at the end of the day, like I said, all hinges on Herbert. But since it's a high ankle sprain, I'm leaning towards no, that he won't. And the fact that it's in Pittsburgh, you know what? Give me the Black and Gold Brigade in an ugly, ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, at that point, it's either you go to Easton Stick or Taylor Heineke. And I don't know why.
Probably go to Heineke because not Easton Stick. That's why.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, ESPN has Easton Stick as the number two and Taylor Heineke is the number three, which I don't really get. All right. I'll kind of match you. If Herbert plays, I'm still going Chargers. If he doesn't play, give me the Steelers. But on the graphic, just put Chargers.
Oh, yeah, because I personally don't think he's going to play.
Yeah.
Because it's a high ankle sprain. Those are nasty business.
Just put a nice little disclaimer in the caption saying this was made prior to certain injury reports.
Yep. You will receive game in the from me. No, I'm kidding.
Last game in the 1 p.m. slate, Denver versus Tampa Bay.
Easy money. Come on. Easy. What does that mean? Please. This is an audio thing.
It means Tampa Bay.
That's right. Hoist the flag, my friends. It's Tampa Bay time. And also, if you have their defensive fantasy, start them because those boys are going to feast against Bo Pix.
Yeah. The only thing that I would really have on the Bucs is they are facing some injuries on the defensive side of the football.
They're also against Bo Pix. I'm not a Bo Lever. I am a Baker, and I say let Baker bake.
Yeah. Antoine Winfield is out. Kalijah Kancey is out. Vita Vea did not participate in Wednesday's practice. He's currently questionable. Logan Hall, questionable. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yep.
Either way.
I think we're both in lockstep here. Either way, it's still going to be Tampa.
Yeah. 4 p.m. slate coming up next. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Time for the 4 p.m. slate. And first one on the list, Carolina and Vegas. The Raiders. The Raiders. And that's my pick. The Raiders. Sam Darnold, now the starting quarterback for this week for the Panthers. And wait, did I say Sam Darnold? I meant Andy Dalton. Please correct. Excuse me. Both very pale quarterbacks. Sorry. As someone that is pale himself. Yeah, so I mean, if you really think that the vibe's going to change with Andy Dalton at your quarterback, then sure. But I'm going to go Vegas. And Vegas is also riding a huge high off of a upset win against the Ravens last week.
Mm-hmm. It's in Vegas. Give me Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So I have a feeling that any Carolina pride that might be left, that tiny sliver, I got news for you. It's staying in Vegas. Ironically, I do think that the Panthers' odds might increase with Dalton because, you know, good veteran guy. He's also not a lawn gnome playing football like Bryce is.
Yeah.
But that's easy. Give me the Raiders. And here's a pro tip, kids. Whoever the Panthers play this season, pick the opposite.
Speaking of quarterbacks that we wish weren't playing, Miami and Seattle, the first installment of Miami without Tua for this season. Jeez. We got some really interesting week 3 games, to say the least. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I haven't really looked at what week 4 has in store, but for the love of God, give me some better games in week 4. I mean, at least our Ruski game of the week is going to be good, but we'll get to that soon. I don't know. Actually, there are a couple good ones in the 4 p.m. slate, though. Miami and Seattle, though, it's Seattle coming off an OT win. I just saw something about Kenneth Walker, too, and now I can't freaking find it. I think Kenneth Walker got ruled doubtful. I'm going to have that in a second. But regardless, Zach Charbonneau is still a really good running back to have as number 2. Give me the Seahawks.
Oh, boy. You saw what happened to Miami against the Bills, right? Yep. And that was with Tua for most of the game. He still threw 3 picks. And I like what Seattle's been able to do on the defensive side of the ball with McDonald as their head coach. It's Mike McDonald, right? That's his name. So, yeah. So for the coaching thing, we got a battle of Mikes. Mike Mix, as it were. Mike McDonald and Mike McDaniel. But look, I know we like to joke about how loaded Miami's offense is. You know, and say, oh, you know, you can put anyone there. But Skylar Thompson, I don't think qualifies as anyone now, does he? So if I had to make an educated guess, I would have to say that the Seattle defense, which is already showing that it's a vicious unit. I mean, it's only, you know, 2 weeks in, but come on. I got to give the Seahawks. If it were Tua, I might be tilting towards Miami. But, you know, you've decided to kill Tua again. Thank you, Stephen Ross. But, like I said, just because Tua's not there, I got to go Seattle.
If Tua was in there, I'd go Miami. And the only way I'd pick Miami is if Tyler Huntley was playing. And he's currently the second string guy on the depth chart after originally being signed to the practice squad and just got moved up earlier this week.
You mean Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley, that guy?
Yes, Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley. Tyler Snoop Huntley. Give me that.
Probably doesn't mean Jack.
Speaking of Tyler Huntley, Baltimore versus Dallas. Tyler Huntley's former team is playing against the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington, Texas. And Baltimore is the favorite in this one. And this is, I was saying a couple seconds ago how there are actually a couple good games in the 4 p.m. slate. Here's one of them. This is a coin flip, in all honesty.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly don't really know if I can make a pick. It's
can I go first?
Yeah, you can go first. I don't
because,
even
because I got some thoughts on this. Because
both teams, their vibes
both teams are coming off an embarrassing loss.
Yeah.
This is what you call a get right game. Right.
A get right game is more you pounce on a really bad team. Whereas now you gotta go up against
my definition's a little different. For me, a get right game is, and I know that's the definition, but let me introduce you to the CJ definition. And I am objectively correct. No, I'm kidding. If this isn't your definition, what I've always viewed a get right game is it's a do or die game. You know what I mean? Because Baltimore, 0-2, that is not very good, is it? No, it's not. And then you got them boys. You're 1-1, but that one win was against Cleveland. So, you know what? Maybe it's not a get-right game. Like I said, my definition's always just been a game where your back's against the wall and it's literally do or die. You have to perform. So one of these teams is going to be looking to right the ship, and the other one of these teams is going to spiral further into depression. And it's in Dallas. And I would have to favor the Cowboys here because I know you just lost to the Saints, but the Saints have been 40-piecing everybody in their path thus far. The Dolphins.
I say everyone since they've only played two games.
Yes, hence thus far. Yeah. But then, of course, there's the Ravens. Who did you lose to? The Raiders. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Give me Dallas just because of that. You don't just lose to the Raiders like that.
Dallas is really good at home, but I don't see the Ravens going to 0-3. It just doesn't feel right.
And I approve this message.
This one's for you, Tuck. I'm going to go Ravens.
Wait, hold up. Chris, there's one thing though that I would prefer you to consider before saying anything.
Okay. Please enlighten me. I need more.
The Ravens have allowed 257 passing yards per game thus far, which is dead last in the NFL.
Okay.
That is all. So the Ravens defense, which should be good, it hasn't been so far. So unless you're predicting them to fix that, which it seems like you are, then sure. I just want to say, for those making your picks at home, keep those stats in mind. Stats are meaningful, unless you're Adam Wright, who dismisses them when he's backed into a corner.
Yeah. Taking a shot at Adam and he's not even here. That's crazy.
Oh, come on. It's all in good
fun. Please. Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, man. Well, I mean, at the same time, on Dallas's case, they faced against the Saints defense that I feel is not as superior as the Ravens defense, or at least that they should be. So Dallas' offense. Only what they put up 17 points last week,
19, but yeah, 19. Doesn't really matter now, does it?
No, I'm gonna stick with the Ravens. I'm gonna stick with the Ravens.
Lawrence against another toss up game, so we got some good games, just hard to predict.
Yeah, this one could potentially be one that's hard to predict, honestly. Niners and Rams. Now, on the surface, seeing the way that the Rams are beat to shit. The Niners are kind of all also beat to shit as well. But you wouldn't really think that just because of the amount of talent that the Niners have. And like, this is what I mean by a get right game. If the Niners weren't dealing with their own injuries, then they would beat the living shit out of the Rams. And that's your get right game. But the Niners are dealing with their own injuries right now. So you can't consider this a get right game either. I mean, George Kittle, hamstring, not practicing today. Ricky Pearsall got shot. So Nick Bosa, limited during Thursday's practice. Tre'Davious Ward did not participate in Thursday's practice. Debo won't practice Thursday. Obviously, CMC is out for another 5 to 6 weeks. I mean,
Yeah, Chris. So the thing is, this is a report from a good old Adam Schefter.
How long ago was that report?
A day ago.
Oh, I saw that report too. But okay, please read it out for the listeners.
For our listening audience, the Rams are going to probably be without wide receiver one, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver two, or their 1A, 1B. Don't bite my head off. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and up-and-coming guard Steve Avila. Niners are going to be without RB1 Christian McCaffrey, wide receiver 1A there, Debo Samuel, probably tight end George Kittle, and guard Jonah Jackson. It's week three. So this
it's
is
week no, three.
Super Bowl. It's week this is three. The injury bowl.
It's week three.
This is the school play that goes wrong, and all the understudies are out there. What it's in the hell is three. This?
I mean, at least for the Rams case, at least they had DeMarcus Robinson and whatnot, but that's not saying too much.
And Juwan Jennings, I guess. But either way, in case you're wondering, folks, give me the Niners. I'm taking the Niners.
I don't know if the Niners are going to cover the spread, but I know that the Niners are going to win.
All right.
Week three. It's week three. Detroit and Arizona, the final game in our 4 p.m. slate. Speaking of putting a whooping on, Arizona put the whooping on LA last week. Detroit looking to bounce back after losing to the Bucks at home. Arizona's looking really good right now. Detroit is the favorite in Arizona as well. It's an interesting one because Arizona's looking really good. They're looking like a really fun team. Kyler Murray is looking really good. They're actually getting Marvin Harrison the ball and getting him involved in the offense. I could very easily see the Lions losing this one. Yeah. You know what? That's what I'm going to go with. That is what I'm going to go with. I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah, the Cardinals have been on a hot start. You know, healthy Kyler Murray, they're getting MHJ involved. And even still, they dueled the Buffalo Bills to the end. And they curb stomped the Rams. And the Lions, you know, are coming off a brutal loss against Detroit. But for those of you who don't know, did you hear what happened to Dan Campbell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bastard. You got people like bothering him at his house. Leave the man alone. He's the best coach y'all have had since literally ever. And you're treating him this way. Don't. You got to leave Dan Campbell be. And just for that, you know he's got a fire lit under him. He's already a big rah-rah guy. And I think he and this thus far underperforming Amon-Ra St. Brown, they're mad. They're mad as all hell. So I think they're going to go down to the desert and handle their business. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, I feel bad for Dan Campbell. I mean, he is the... You know, the best thing to come around to Detroit since Stafford and Calvin Johnson and actually got the Lions to an NFC championship game. And after that,
it's like the first ever NFC championship game, too.
No, it was their first NFC championship since 1993. I could be very wrong in the year.
I know. I thought, actually, no.
No, it was their first playoff win since 93. Excuse me.
Yeah. The last time they've been in the AFC Championship since like George H.W. Bush was president or something like that.
Yeah. But, and then Lions fans just heckling him at his home. Like, dude.
No, why would you do, like I said, he's turned this team around and here you are. Well, you know what they say, can't have shit in Detroit.
Nope. Yeah. Fortunately, we got to go to break on a pretty sour note. But, on a good note, when we come back, Ruski Game of the Week and our Monday Night Football doubleheader. coming up next on the Full Maruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Full Maruski podcast, powered by Parity Neen Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. The Ruski game of the week, Chiefs versus the Falcons. The Falcons coming off of a big, big Monday night comeback win against the Eagles when they were as dead in the water as dead could be, and then just found a way. I mean, it's not hard to find a way to a win when the other team's playing prevent defense. Chiefs 2-0, and it's Chiefs being 2-0, it's kind of expected. Casey's got the line at minus Trace. Man, this one's in Atlanta as well. Part of me kind of wants to go Atlanta just because, like, Atlanta is looking a lot better now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you can at the very least get Travis Kelce to not be a factor at all, which
shouldn't be too hard nowadays.
Shouldn't be too hard right now. Then they could be looking fine. Falcons just need to play all 60 minutes and not show up for the last 2 minutes of the game like they did last week. I think that's really all it comes down to. Falcons play 60 minutes of football and they get the win.
Yeah, so are you going Chiefs or Falcons?
I think I made my answer clear.
You did not.
How?
You said if they – no, you said if they do. I don't do ifs. I do predictions here.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. Falcons are going to play 60 minutes of football for
one. Okay, thank you. You're very generous.
They're going to play all 60 minutes, finally, and they're going to win.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you said if. I'm like, Garrett. But, yeah,
well, that's the thing. It's like the all of this stuff is a big if at the end of the day. It's not a
okay, cool. That's will. Why we're making projections because we know. But I appreciate it. I'm sorry. Just for my own peace of mind.
It's okay. You got to put it on the graphic anyways.
I do. Yes. That's why I ask. So then there's Kansas City. That's, by the way, who I'm going with. Because, like, I mean, even if you don't play a second of football, Kansas City's going to make you pay for it. And I'm not going to lie. Part of me does want to pick Atlanta. This is the quintessential definition of a trap game. And look, Kansas City, you only won by a toe against Baltimore. You were, debatably, saved by the officials. And yeah, I'm not going to lie. They do take it easy on Kansas City. This is like a well-established fact. I mean, Mahomes, I think since he started playing, has had the most interceptions wiped away on penalties, which I think is like 17 since 2018.
I know, Chris, I know, buddy.
I'm just saying.
In defense, he has the most pass attempts since like 2016.
Oh, boy. But my point is, it's just that you got to play spotless because the NFL does tend to baby its favorites. And that doesn't go with Kansas City. As a Pats fan, we've gotten away with some pretty interesting things. But you know, I think Kansas City should win just because I'm not completely sold on Raheem Morris as a coach quite yet. I think it's going to come down to coaching, and I trust Andy Reid. So give me KC.
I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is also on IR. Does that change anything for you?
No, I like Carson Steele. I do. And they got Kareem Hunt back.
He's not playing this week, though.
Okay, I still like Carson Steele.
Okay. Yeah, but if no one had seen the news, Andy Reid did come out and say he's going to obviously be involved in practice. He's going to be more practice squad right now, but he's just not playing this week just because of,
you know, he's got to get reacted.
Not ready. He's not ready yet. So it's pretty simple enough. Monday Night Football doubleheader. Jaguars and Bills and Bengals versus Commanders. We'll hit on the Jaguars and Bills first, since that is the 7:30 start time. So real quick, the two Monday night football games. So Jaguars and Bills are at 7:30. Commanders and Bengals are at the usual Monday night time of 8:15. Right off the bat, I'm going Bills. This Jaguars team is just so dead in the water. It's just everything. It's just everything at this point. You know, I want to say Trevor Lawrence in a bad situation, but how many years can you go from with being in a bad situation until you have to start being like, well, you kind of have to start stepping up at some point. You kind of have to step up at some point. And
I mean,
Trevor Lawrence has done a great job doing that. And that's kind of been shown in their 0-2 stint. Hot take. I don't know. I think Doug Peterson's on borrowed time right now. Which, honestly, now that I'm saying it out loud, doesn't really sound that much of a hot take. But
yeah, it's not something a lot of people talk about. There are people more should talk about Daboll and Sirianni, but Peterson's a very legitimate name to throw on the hot seat as well.
I would argue Peterson more so than Daboll. I wouldn't. If Daboll gets fired,
I would hear something about Daboll, but yeah. But you have a point, is what I'm saying.
Either way, Bills.
But yeah, I'm also going Buffalo. No need to beat around the bush here. Jacksonville, I just don't understand. They're such an enigma. They I mean, on paper they should be good, but paper doesn't win games, unfortunately. You're on the field. You're not on paper. And like I said, I don't have to think too hard. Give me the Bills.
Probably won't have to think too hard on this one either. Bengals, Commanders. Daniels is really good at handing the football off right now. But, I mean, Brian Robinson's been running the ball really well as someone that's a fancy owner of Brian Robinson. That's really the only bright spot. I mean, Washington's defense is still not good at all. But Brian Robinson, that's a name to keep an eye on. And Jaden Daniels, one of the four now that Drake May has played, one of the four rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Excuse me. Sorry, I had some leftover wings earlier, and it's starting to feel a little gassy right now. Not through that end, more the mouth end. But
hey, I didn't say anything, man.
Where was I going with this? I don't remember. But Joe Burrow looked a hell of a lot better than he did last week against the Chiefs than he did against the Patriots. I see this as a game that Jamar is going to go off because Washington sucks on defense. Their corners are bums.
Oh, yeah.
I could see this being a 2-score game that the Bengals win. So yeah, give me that. Maybe a 3-score game.
Yeah, this is the more traditional definition of a get right game because, yeah, I will grant you that Washington is a better record. But when all you do is kick field goals, I don't see that working too well against Cincy. So I'm hammering that Bengals pick.
Yeah, that's pretty easy enough. I mean, unless by some miracle the commies get something done. But those are our Friday picks. We tried to get through as much of the new breaking news that we could get through in the last hour. I started recording at about 3:45-ish. That doesn't sound right. But we started recording around then. So all of our information being said right now is between the hours of 3:45 to 4:45. But any last thoughts, CJ, before we end the show?
Nope.
Cool. Didn't think so. I'm glad. Thanks for tuning in. Of course, new episodes Tuesdays and Fridays. New episode coming out Tuesday at 7:30. You can listen to all our episodes on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the whole shebang, you name it. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FullMrewski_podcast, and our TikTok, FullMrewskiPod, for all the latest information and updates on the NFL. But other than that, see how week 3 turns out. from Chris Gostich, CJ Medeiros, and Adam Wright and Justin Tucker, who aren't here right now. Say so long, and we'll see you on Tuesday.